Christmas. I can't believe we're close to Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. It might as well get here. I've been singing Christmas songs since the last one. I'm telling you the truth. I was yesterday, for some reason, I'm on Mary Did You Know in my brain, and I'm like, stop. You ever notice you can't stop that? If you've ever been to Disney World or Disneyland and gone to It's a Small World After All, that will stick in. Now that I said that, that will be in my brain for the next week. I shouldn't have even verbalized it. But that's the way it is, because today we're continuing our little series on the fruits of the Spirit, and today is patience, which we've done. I by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but I skipped love, because I think love's, well, everything of the other fruits of the Spirit actually flow out of that, but that's for another day. But remember, we did joy, and I went through a week of no joy, and then we did peace, which was last week, and I had a full week of peace. So this week was patience. So I went ahead and texted my wife on Monday and said, you probably should not be near me this week. And she was not wise and still was with me this week. So here's the scripture. That's love. But the Holy Spirit produces, again, I can't emphasize this enough. The more I study this, the more I realize how we need some change, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. You can fake it, but it's the Holy Spirit that produces this kind of fruit. Love, joy, patience, or excuse me, peace. Patience, I highlighted because that's today. If you want me to say it correctly, I'll say it correctly one time. Macrothumia means long suffering. In fact, let me just tell you exactly what that means. It means, it's from the word, it's two words combined actually in the Greek. Macros, which means long. Thumos, which means temper. So long temper, not means you have a long temper. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, we know that. We're going to stop on patience today. So yeah, this word again from macros, which means long, and thumos, which means temper. It's self-restraint that's not in a hurry to retaliate a wrong. See, we think patience is this. You know what I'm saying? We're waiting. I'm being patient here. That's not patience. Patience is a fruit that's grown, man. It's really frustrating when you understand it. So it literally means you're slow to get mad. In other words, it's the opposite of a short fuse. It's not holding a grudge during difficult days. It involves not flying off the handle over the little things. In fact, it's the idea of not getting mad over little irritations, not just the big ones. Patience is an interesting animal, and it, when you really walk into the understanding of what the meaning of it is, you're going to really recognize that you have no ability to do it. There was a man that noticed a lady in the grocery store, by the way, with her four-year-old in the cart, and the child was asking for cookies, and her mother said no, and the little girl began to cry loudly. So the mother patiently said, "Now, Missy, we're halfway done. It won't be long." And the same thing happened in the candy aisle, and this time the little girl kicked and screamed, and the mother said, "There, there, Missy, only two more aisles, and then we'll be done." And at the checkout counter, the child reached out for some gum, and when her mom said no, she began to scream louder than ever. And the mother said patiently, "Missy, we'll be through this. Missy. Where did Missy go? There she is. Missy, we'll be through this checkout stand in 5 minutes, and then we can go home and both have a nice nap." And the man following them, he followed them out to the parking lot, and he complimented the woman. He said, I couldn't help notice how patient you were with your little Missy." And the mother replied, "Thank you, sir, but my little girl is Francine. I'm Missy." Yeah. Oh, if we could just talk ourselves into that, huh? So this whole word, macrothumia, whatever you say it, it's slowness in avenging wrongs, counting down till we blast off, counting down to 10 till we blast off. Here's one of my favorites, which I have used for years and just was all proud of. Biting my tongue bloody. You've probably even heard me say it. Not, you know, there's this pride. I bit my tongue bloody. All of this is absolutely modification of behavior. That is not patience. Biting my tongue bloody, as cool as I thought that was, because I didn't yell because I could, you know, because it was my right to yell, but I bit my tongue bloody. That's not patience. That's not patience. That is a modification of behavior. See, because patience is fruit, and we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. God is patient, and only He can produce patience in us. And by the way, just like God is love, God is, now He never says He is patience, but He is very patient, because both of them, both God and patience, are just not in a hurry. Here's how David wrote it in a little short scripture right here. For you, God, 1,000 years is a passing as a day, as brief as a few night hours. And in fact, other places will say, you know, 1,000 years like a day is like 1,000 years. And it's really true. Here's what's so funny. Do you realize that 25 years passed before Abraham and Sarah ever had Isaac? God promised them Isaac. Now, the problem happened because they were impatient. Because Abraham and Sarah, God had promised them Isaac. They didn't have Isaac as soon as they had determined that they needed to. So they did their own plan. You know, gave her Hagar, and they had the baby. And so Ishmael came. And Ishmael was not Isaac. In fact, Ishmael was a mess. But it's not the point. The point is, this is how patient God is. Do you realize, too? I didn't realize this till this week. Abraham never owned a piece of property. The only thing he ever owned was a cemetery plot where he was buried. I don't know, I'm telling you. Israel didn't become a great nation for 900 years. 900 years, that's nine lifetimes. But see, I think a lot of it is because God is from the foundation of the world forever and ever and ever. God is very patient. And God is very patient with mankind, which I'll get to at the end of this, because that's what we need to understand, because that's our responsibility. So, by the way, if you'll remember, Jesus was 30 years old, and that he waited until he was 30 to even start his ministry, and that lasted 3 years. And then he was killed. So, here's what I want you to see, incorporated in this wonderful word in the Greek. Patience is the ability to put up with folks that you'd like to put down. It's accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. That's patience. Right now, we've got Keith is walking in patience. We have Carl is walking in patience. And I know it for a fact because I know both of them. And they haven't put expectations on God. In fact, Carl even said it to me last week, and he's exactly right. You know, there's three things that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when you have to bow down. They said, if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And there was three things they said, two of them which I believe are faith, and one of them which is trust. And Carl even mentioned this to me last week. Because his health on paper is not good. I get it. He gets it. We get it. Right, Carl? We get it. But here's what he said. He said, I'm going to believe like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the three statements they said was, God can deliver us from this fire. And we like to shout that down. Then they said, and God will deliver us from that fire. And that's even more shout down, but we always stop as the preacher. Because the third thing they said is more important. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. Patience, Carl, that you're walking in the fruit of patience is the fact that even if he doesn't, I'm in the middle of it. Because if he doesn't, I'm going home. If he does, I'm going to give glory to him, because he's going to get glory out of it in whatever way possible. But see, that's what real patience is. It's, again, let me repeat that. It's accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. And I've done it a million times, give God the deadline, all in the name of a Gideon thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, well, God, to prove my point here, let's do it this way. Well, that's not patience. Patience, and this is so true, and this is so good. Patience is an inner calmness that comes from the knowledge that God is really in control. I go back to David. You know, I smashed him a couple of weeks ago, and people probably hurt your feelings because I was just showing you how bad of a person he was. Welcome to the world. We all are. But he was, he realized God had told him, actually, that you're not going to build the temple. Your son Solomon is. So David got this stuff all together, all the gold and the silver and everything. And then right before he said what I'm fixing to show you, he proclaimed to the people, you know, Solomon's going to be building the temple, and I'm going to give my stuff. So he gave up all his stuff, and then he made a plea for the other leaders to give up all their stuff, and they gave up all their stuff. And I'm talking about tons of gold and silver and all this stuff. So when that happened, after that all happened, David was feeling pretty good, and this is what he said. He said, "Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things." You get how he's releasing all this control to God. "Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength." God is in control. And when we can recognize that, we can, this is going to probably be the weirdest statement I've ever made, and it just came to me. We can rest in patience. That's impossible. Humanly, it's impossible. But we can rest in patience. That's funny. So patience is against human nature, right? It's not built in us. We aren't born patient. I think one of the greatest examples of that, you women who have had children, you dads who act like you helped, can you imagine the child that is, it's the middle of the night, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and the child thinks to himself, "You know what? I need my diaper changed, and I'm a little hungry, but I'll just wait till morning so mom and dad can rest. I'm just going to have patience and do that for my mom and dad." Look, it's not instilled in us, is it? It really isn't. but it goes beyond just then. Do you realize this? I pulled this up just for kicks. The annual cost for running a red light over the United States of America is over $7 billion. Thank you very much for keeping our company, our country moving, folks. $7 billion. Now, here's what the funniest part is. The average time saved for running a red light, 50 seconds. And I've not seen the run of the red light, but back in the day when a lot of towns just had, you know, back when you put a buck worth of gasoline in, you drove the town, they'd only have a couple of stop signs. People would speed up, and then you'd just meet them at the next stop sign. You know, it's the tortoise and the hare, man. The guy's running, and then you pull up right next to him, you kind of smile. And that's the patience that we always think about. But here's the patience that the Bible talks about, and here's the patience that only the Holy Spirit can give us. Patience is hard because of pride and selfishness and anger. Let me just stay right here. We're impatient. The United States of America, we're an impatient and angry nation, which is just complete and total proof that the Holy Spirit's fruit of patience is not in our nation. Okay? And again, it's not, we can modify our behavior by biting our tongue bloody or counting 10 before we beat somebody up. And the reason patience is so hard is because it's contrary to our culture. It really is. We live by fast food and quick print and 10-minute oil changes. I don't know if y'all remember, but they took it down, at least at ours they took it down. At our Taco Bell here in Haltom City, they did a commercial, you know, where they will have you your food within 3 minutes or whatever, and they had a little timer. Holy smoke, they never should have put that, and that's why they took it down, I'm sure. They never should have put it there. Because if it made it past 3 minutes, you got people honking. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the impatience that we're talking about here in our country. See, patience is hard. Here's one of the biggest reasons why patience is so hard here. Patience is hard because we've made impatience a virtue. We've made it something good. I've heard this statement before, probably more than once. I may be impatient, but I get things done. Okay. You get it. We've made it a virtue. We the church included, because we are here in the same place as everyone else is. So here's a story I want to share with you. A man and his wife are wakened at 3 o'clock in the morning, talking about patience. They're wakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by a loud pounding on the front door. The man gets up, gets dressed, goes to the door where a drunk stranger's standing there in the pouring rain asking for a push. Not a chance, the guy says. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He slams the door and returns to the bed. Well, who was that, his wife asked. Well, just a drunk stranger asking for a push. He answers, did you help him? Or she answers, did you help him? No, I didn't. It's 3 in the morning. It's raining outside. Then typical spouse. Well, you got a short memory, buddy. Remember 3 months ago when we were broke down on vacation and those two guys helped us? I think you should go help them. So he does as he's told, as any good husband would. Gets dressed, goes out in the pouring rain, and he calls out into the darkness, hello, are you still there? And he hears, yes. Do you still need a push? And the guy goes, yes, please. And he says, well, where are you? Over here by the swing. The drunk replied. That's when murder happens. You go from impatience to murder right there. And I'm talking about murdering the wife, not the drunk. Yeah, there's tons of those stories out there. You probably heard them all. That just the irony for me is we've never really dug this Holy Spirit fruit out, because as I dig further into this, this is why we're not reaching our nation. It has nothing to do with your teaching. It has all to do with who you are. And I'll show you that. But so when I told you in the beginning, this has been a thing for me too, because love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love is the first one that is mentioned. Something in me says that's because that's kind of how it goes in order. But this whole thought came to me, and here's the way I look at it. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit are more like, you know what an ambrosia salad is? It's a fruit salad. Now, a normal, this is why I love my mother, my sweet tooth mother, call her, and that's the only curse she gave me was her sweet tooth. Good night. I have a sweet tooth. I keep frozen grapes in my office because that's as close to legal as I can get without eating a candy bar to keep something sweet in my mouth. But she would make ambrosia salad. It's normally made with all these fruits and then this coconut shredded cooking stuff. Well, Mom just said, forget that. Let's use whipped cream. Oh, great. Oh, listen, I had a friend named Happy Hurst. He's gone home to be with the Lord since, but he was a big old guy, and he would come for Thanksgiving with us. Every year when I was living in college, we'd drive to El Paso and have Thanksgiving. And again, he's a big guy and proud to eat, and I was fine with it. You know what I'm saying? It's rather than people that hide it. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're 800 pounds. Well, I've been fasting. No, you haven't. No, I'm kidding. Wow. So the third year when we get there, because he really liked my mom's ambrosia salad. She didn't call it that. She just called it fruit salad. But it was a mixture of these wonderful fruits. And so the third year we went, there was 2 bowls of it. One for us and one for Hap. And what I love about Hap didn't care. You know, he's like, oh man, thank you, Mrs. Van Zandt. And my mom, she loves that to cook. That was probably not necessary. By the way, the word ambrosia is what they used for the Greek gods, for the food of the Greek gods, but it literally means immortality. So I just find it interesting that I just thought of the ambrosia salad and that all that came out. The bottom line is this. I believe that's kind of what these fruits of the Spirit are. They're all incorporated in the bowl, and the Holy Spirit is the whipped cream, if you will, that kind of pulls this all together. And the reason I say all that is to help you see something, and that is, we'll never have patience, we'll never have the patient fruit without the love fruit. You just won't. And let's be really honest, because Jesus is love, the word's very clear on that, and God is love, then everything must flow from that love. And so we can't have these fruits of the Spirit. You will never have joy. We've already talked about it. You'll never have that without love. You'll never have real peace without love. You will never have patience. You cannot have patience. It's impossible. It's impossible to have honest to goodness, God-given grown patience without love attached to it. Here's one scripture, which I'll end up going to when we finally cover the love one. This is it right here. Love is large and incredibly patient. This is the TPT, stands for the Passion Translation, by the way. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about someone else's achievements, nor does it inflate its own importance. But what I want you to hone in on is that love is large and incredibly patient. That's a literal translation of the word patient there for incredibly patient is incredibly patient in difficult relationships. This is where you will find out if there's any kind of growth in you concerning life. For years, we've had several things that have happened. Well, here at this church, we've been here 27. And we've had several things that have happened where I have, after it came to about, it's always been something ugly, but after it came about, I would always tell my wife and or sometimes staff, deacons or whatever, I waited too long to deal with that. And I would walk through the guilt of it because I would see how it affected the congregation. You hear what I'm saying? And all that. And when you first knew it, you should have dealt with it. And I'm just sharing this to help you understand. I actually understand now, maybe I was being patient, even though it's affecting and hurting other people. So it literally means patience in difficult relationships, and it also means patiently enduring mistreatment, which can actually be incorporated in what I just talked about. You get what I'm saying? So, areas where, I've told you all this because I have prayed for patience. And I'm like, don't pray for patience because you'll be praying for patience for 20 years and then God will tell you that you've been patient for 20 years waiting for patience. You know, I've always said that and ha-ha. But that's not the truth, man. The truth is, patience is so incorporated in love, you might accidentally start growing in patience because it is part of that ambrosia salad and that fruit of patience. And this is a struggle, man, in marriages. In fact, I'm going to read you something I found yesterday. And I didn't have time to put it in my notes, so I'll just read it. I don't even know who wrote it, so I can't take credit for it. But here's what it says. It's talking about love and being patient. It says, it's simply inevitable that two people living in such close proximity, talking about a marriage, in such close proximity will irritate each other a bit and maybe a lot. Can I get an amen there, anybody? Thank you. All the single ones are going, amen. All the married ones are like elbowing. Y'all are going to be sore from being elbowed, right? Jim, how you feeling? You all right? Are you bowing him to death? Okay, so we'll make sure. So let me get back on point because this is very good in my opinion. So we irritate each other a little bit or a lot. It says, so unless love is laced with patience, this is important, rather than based on performance, the love inside your marriage will only be as consistent as your spouse is. Let me say that again. Unless love is laced with patience rather than based on performance, the love inside your marriage will only be as consistent as your spouse is. Because then you start looking at your spouse instead of looking at him. because the expectations you have for your spouse and what he or she's supposed to do don't line up. Therefore, if you're not going to allow the patience of the Lord inside of you, then the expectations you have, I'll say it one more time and I'm done. So I'll actually probably post this one online just to make people mad so they can say stuff. So unless love is laced with patience rather than based on performance, the love inside your marriage will only be as consistent as your spouse is. And just so you know, your spouse, I'm a spouse, I'm not consistent. You get what I'm saying? Nobody's consistent. So unless you can walk in patience, which is absolutely incorporated in love. And so that's why when you go into the love chapter where it talks about love, and love doesn't, you know, hold on to wrongs and all this stuff. It's all incorporated in love. It really is. So and then it means hanging on tough when you feel more like blowing up. We get all that. Here's what I want you to see, and it's 11:20, and I'm on my conclusion for however long it lasts. My conclusion might last a second. Oh, I'm just kidding. What an opportunity that we have to demonstrate patience in our culture. I'll go back to what I said earlier. Our culture does not walk in patience. They don't. We are called to change our culture. Changing our culture is only going to happen when people see change in us. And here's where I really dug in this week on this, because we've been told wrongly, in my opinion, Matthew 28, where it says, go into all the world and make disciples, right? There's only two places where he said. The other one he says, go and preach the gospel. Somehow we've taken making disciples into some kind of training, a training. I'm going to disciple you. Therefore, you're going to sit down and listen to what I have to say, and you're going to have to believe it if I'm going to be the one mentoring you or discipling you. And if you don't believe it, well, then you need to find somebody else that can mentor or disciple. It's just hogwash. How's that for being very honest? I'm going to show you here, hopefully, where he says go into all the world, and the word says to make disciples. It's the word for make disciples is the word for disciple means a pupil or one being taught. That's pretty simple. So when we say they were one of the disciples, it simply means they were ones that were being taught by who? Who was their teacher? Thank you. So they're being taught by that. Well, that's a noun. The one place, and this is only one place where this is, your word is used, where it says go and make disciples, it's the verb of the noun. So what you are receiving from this teacher called Jesus, you're going to make disciples from that. Here's what that word literally means. The word is monthuno, and it means to learn by application and practice. So he's saying, Jesus said it, and his last word's important, man. Any person that's fixing to die's last word's important. And he said, go into all the world and by application and practice, make folks learn of who I am. So the question is to me, what did the disciples learn from Jesus? Did they learn to dig into the Old Testament because they didn't have the New Testament, and to find all the nuggets so that they could? What did they learn from Jesus? He talked to them in parables. Half the time they had to ask him what he was saying. What do you mean by that? Well, okay. And he would explain it. Why? Because he loved them. They'd be arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. What did Jesus do? Did he correct them with the word? No, he stripped naked and covered his privates and washed their feet. Said, I didn't come into this world to be served. I came to serve. What are we supposed to, what did the disciples learn? Go into all the world and make disciples. Yeah. How about letting a little fruit of patience grow in us? A little love, a little joy, a little peace, long-suffering. We still got a long way to go in this, too. There's 9 of them, and I apologize. kindness, I think, is like next week or something. So go into the world and teach that. By the way, he never said to teach it. He said to make disciples, and he said preach the gospel. Dig it out. You'll have a million pastors or preacher or whatever you want to call them tell you that he said go and teach the disciples. No. He said preach the gospel, you at Galilee, the good news of who Jesus is. And then by application and by practice, show these folks and they'll become a disciple too. So simple yet so hard. Because we want to do things cholerically, in order, alphabetical order, height order. We want A, B, C, D, boom, you're a disciple. You have just made discipleship. Here, let me pat you on the back. Let me give you a sword. And when I say that, I'm not downplaying any particular ministry. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to my heart today. I got no problem with that. I got no problem. The word says very clearly, we honor those and to give honor where honor is due. But my question is my life lining up to where others can view my life? I love the Apostle Paul, man. A lot of people don't like what he said. A lot of people didn't like Peter. Martin Luther, man, he couldn't stand all the teachings of James, I should say. He couldn't stand James, you know, because James kind of put in words what I'm talking to you today about. You got to have some fruit in your life. But Martin Luther King viewed it as being heavy-handed and no grace. Oh, no, he wasn't. I don't, in my opinion, it wasn't at all. And then you have those that just, you know, Paul was greasy grace and all that. And I teach a lot from Paul because I feel like Paul really had an answer. And here's what I love about Paul. All of his grace, sloppy, agape, greasy grace, that people like to call it, was taught from a place of pain. He was in prison. He was getting beaten. This ain't a guy that was out and about on the circuit. But one of the most powerful things he ever said that I used to, when I was a young pup in Jesus, I used to think was arrogant, is when he said, "You follow me as I follow Christ." That's not arrogant, man. In fact, I finally, in the later years, I've learned to try to follow Paul like he followed Christ. And it's kind of helping me a little bit. My question is, don't care how good you can teach. Can we get to where we can say, follow me as I follow Christ? You want to make disciples? Follow me as I follow Christ. Does that mean that there's perfection there? Absolutely not, but I get that. He's perfect, I'm not. But I try to follow him as I follow Christ. Is it arrogant for me to tell you I would like you to follow me as I follow Christ? In the day, I would have thought that. I certainly understand my weaknesses and my failures. I do get that. But I also know my heart, and I'm turned towards Him. So, that's what the disciples learned, and that was the instructions that Jesus gave. Go make disciples by application, which means use, by use and by practice. And it really can be practice. Practice makes perfect, right? Perfect mistakes. So I say all that to say this. The door to salvation upon this world is wide open. And the reason isn't because of us. It's because God is so patient. God is patient with us. And here's a couple of three scriptures I want you to see to show how patient he is with us. So Paul has just ripped sin on the chapter before, chapter 1, just all gross sin. And he's just painted this horrible picture. And then he says, since you judge others for doing those things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you away from sin? The word there is metanoia, to change your mind concerning what you're doing. Don't you see how wonderfully kind He is? how tolerant he is. Now, I'm not talking just for you. I'm talking about for other people, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you see that? How kind and tolerant he is, not just of you, but of them. Of them, 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 them. Go to that next one. 1 Timothy. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is so simple, Johnny.
And I am the worst.
But wait. We need to just stay there for a second. Christ came into the world to save sinners, not to put money in your pocket, not to heal people, which he did, and he put money in pocket. He put money in a fish's mouth. But why did he come? He came to say, to redeem us. Redemption, you know what redemption is. S&H Greenstamp people in here, anybody? Remember the day? Yeah, I think we got a toaster one time. My mom saved up, and you know, I'm the one who had to lick and stick, because you had to lick them. I don't get that. Why couldn't you just fold them in there? No, they had to be licked on, stuck on. But you, what happened? Well, if you got enough, you could redeem and get you a toaster. Jesus, his redemption's over the top, man. We didn't have to do no lick 'em, stick 'em. He just did it because he loves us. But that's why he came into the world, is to save sinners. And he says, and I'm the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. We don't have patience with the worst. And we don't have patience with people who just get on our last nerve. We won't even throw the sinner thing in. I'm the worst of them all. I could stand here and say that, and I promise you, if I'm older than you, I've got more sin than you do. You get what I'm saying? You're a little 20-year-old pup. Whatever. I've had 65 years of being able to sin. Don't be arrogant. See, there's my sin of arrogance of sin. I've got arrogance for sin. And he says, I'm the worst in all, but God had mercy on me. It's his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then, when we're patient with even the worst sinner, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Why do you think that he says, it's our testimony? It's our testimony. And that's not saying go out and get a testimony. It's not the testimony of how bad I am. It's the testimony of how good he is to affix how bad I am. Right? So then the others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Here's the simplicity of it all. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King. He's the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. He's saying he's got great. I'm the worst of them all. He's got great patience to save them all. I can't tell you how, since I was a puppy, man, always praying, you know, we need to pray, Jesus come back, Jesus come back, Jesus come back. And I was always afraid that Jesus was going to come back because, you know, I mean, I'm not playing. When I would go home and mom wasn't there and she's supposed to be there, I thought that rapture had happened and I'm done, man. I'm sorry, God. You know, and so I was scared about Jesus. Well, then I came to know him. Then I'm wanting to pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And you know the words, yes, there's one scripture that says, pray the Lord come quickly. Yes, yes, absolutely. But what if he's wanting to be patient? What if we could have the patience that God has for other people? It's amazing. Last scripture and I'll be done. But don't forget this one thing. One thing. Dear friends, with the Lord, this is a quote from the scripture I used earlier from Psalms. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise to us, as some understand slowness. See, he's patient with you, not wanting anybody to perish, but everyone to come to metanoia, to a change of mind and heart and soul. That's a literal change. He's patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish. I can't tell you the times I've had where I wish people would perish, or I would There's been times in my life where I was mad that somebody came to know Jesus because I didn't want them to know Jesus. You know, and again, I've told y'all before, God's got such a sense of humor, they're going to be my neighbor in heaven. You know, just bugging me the rest of my life, playing an accordion, doing polka music, just stuff like that. That's going to be my heaven, because, and that's okay, because I'll at least be there, right? So I want that growing in me, and that's only going to come through the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. That kind of patience only comes through the Holy Spirit of, man, God, I do want you to come now, but there might be somebody else that needs to know the love of who you are and how awesome you are and how real you are. There's a saying I always say, I love you, but I got to kill you. That's not patience. I'm to be honest with you, I'm just kind of new to this understanding and what's going on with this. But I do know that I want to make disciples like the Word tells me to make disciples. And that's by practicing what and doing what Christ did. And again, Christ did teach some great stuff. He did. But those guys learned more from who he was than anything he ever said, to the point of his death, even after the resurrection, when he still was humble and had patience with people. Amen.
I spent 15 minutes on the conclusion, 15 minutes on the first part.
If you would, you stand with your feet with me, please. Man, so many thoughts running through my head on that message. But he said something in the beginning, cannot be patient without God. We cannot be patient without God. And the immediate thought that hit me is, we're not patient with God. You know, we don't wait. We don't take the time when we pray. We just move on and start doing things with our own hands and start doing things in our own way. We're not even patient with God. But we move all the way down to the end. 2 Peter 3, 8, 9. And bottom line is God is patiently waiting for us. So I'm just going to ask you some questions and then ask you to make a decision, and then we'll be dismissed. Are you here this morning? Well, obviously you're here. Is God waiting on you this morning? Have you made that decision this morning to follow him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, to love him with everything that you are? If you have not made that decision, then God is patiently waiting for you. And is today the day? Kind of like what Steve Metter said earlier during the offering. Is God waiting on you? Is his patience being tested by you? If so, I want you to come down to the front and we're going to pray. If you're the one this morning that God is waiting on, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants none of his children to perish. None. Can I get a deacon or a staff member to come down and pray? Daniel, come down with Daniel. We're going to pray. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, we're going to take some time. We're going to pray with Daniel, but I want to pray a prayer of dismissal over you guys. If y'all want to stay and pray, you can. If not, you make your way to the back. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word that is right and true, changes our lives. God, I pray for every heart and every soul that is in this building today, Lord, to leave here changed, not like they came. God, that we can go out and be a blessing to everyone we come in contact with, Lord, to show your love to everyone, God, that we come in contact with, that they would know that we are your children. God, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.